My message this evening is on the new creature. Now, I had an opportunity a few weeks ago to preach this message to a church in Dixon. They asked for me to come and I preached this message. And out of about 8 or 9 families, about two or three asked me to come back. And the rest didn't. But it was a blessing to one or two. And it was well worth going over there. I'm going to try to describe what is meant in Scripture by the new creature. That's talked about in 2 Corinthians. As with anything else, there's only one place to find out what Scripture means, and that is in the Scripture. That's the only way to find out what the Lord has meant by anything He said is just searching the Scriptures. I hope the Lord will bless it. Well, the first question is, am I a new creature? First thing the Lord has to make you know is that you are, and you were, and you always will be, an old creature. You always will have that old creature in you. And you have to know what an old creature is. And the fact must be made known by God's revelation. That is the only way that it can be understood. What is the characteristics of this old creature? And this is the sum and substance of that. We are complete and willing rebels against God Almighty. That's the old creature. We are dead in trespasses and sins, and we have no hope in ourselves. That is the old creature. And that is the sum and substance of what people rebel against today in religion. Because they do not want to admit that they have nothing. They have nothing, no hope whatsoever in themselves. And they do not want to say that they are rebelling daily against God Almighty. In Psalm 14:1, we don't have to turn there. We'll be turning some other places. It says, to the chief musician, the Psalm of David. And this is a man who God said, this is a man after my own heart. Now, David wasn't a very nice man. He did some very evil things. But his heart said, he's a man after my own heart. It says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. In the second verse of Psalm 14, it says, the Lord looked down. Well, He not only looked down, He continues to look down. He looks down every day and sees nothing. No one on this earth that is good. No one. Not in and of themselves, they are no good. That is the old creature. And you turn here, Romans 3, verse 10. While you turn here, some will say, well, I'm righteous, I'm holy. Well, the Scripture says nothing about a man being righteous or holy except in the Savior, Christ Jesus. In Romans 3:10, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now that's enough right there to say that there's no one in here, in this room tonight, no one outside this place tonight that has done any good. But let's continue on. This is the creature. This is the creature manifested. This is the explanation of what the old creature is in verse 13 through 18. Their throat is like an open sepulcher. Their tongues have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now this is our nature. This is the old creature that we are by birth, by choice, and by practice. And that will humble a man if the Lord will let it. To say, I don't have anything. If you know that, that you're the old creature, that you have that old creature within you, that you were and are that old creature, and it's in you all times, then you have hope. Because the Lord says, I came to save a people, sinful people. Not self-righteous people. Not people who feel that they have something to offer to God, but people that have no hope whatsoever outside of Christ. Now, once you've been made to know this state, now are you looking to the only one who can quicken a dead sinner? Because we are dead in trespasses and sins, as I read, and we can only be made alive by Christ. You must believe that His work alone is sufficient and that His work alone is the only thing that God the Father will accept. Do we believe that? Do we trust in that? I do, because I know that I don't have any hope in myself. I don't have any merit in myself. I believe and I trust. That's my only hope, is that God will do exactly what He said He would do. This book already shows that He already sent His Son. This book already shows that the Son came and lived the life under the law and fulfilled it, and that He died to carry away the sins of those that the Father gave Him. I already can see that. But do I now see and hope that what He has said that He will have for me in eternity, do I believe that so? By God's grace, I do. And I hope you all do too. Now, it's not of our free will. We did not choose Him. We did not say that we were going to believe Him. It's all of God's grace. We are made willing in the day of His power. We choose Him because He first chose us. If we chose Him by ourselves, it would have to be counted unto us for righteousness. And the Lord is jealous, and He has to have all the glory. If we had anything to offer to Him, it would be counted unto us for righteousness. Now, the Lord says, I will have all the glory. And in order to have all the glory, we can't have anything. And we don't have anything. Some are falsely led to believe that they have something, and they will be sorely displeased in the day of eternity because they don't have a thing. Unless sometime in the life that they live on this earth, the Lord will grace them with the knowledge that they have nothing. The Scripture clearly states that this is the opposite. In Ephesians 2:8, it says, For grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in. Next thing we'll say, people say, well, what about the good works I've done? That last verse in Ephesians 2:10 says, For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Any good works we can and will do is because the Lord worked in us by His Spirit, and it not counted unto us. They're still counted on to one that we rely on, Christ Jesus. People will say, well, I've done many good things. Well, if you've done anything good, it's not of yourself. It's impossible for a man to do good works or a woman to do good works. It's impossible. But the Lord will use a vessel, this earthen vessel, on occasion to do something profitable in His name. And it's by His work in us, not our work. Not our work. If you and I are one of His sheep, the elect of God, the predestinated and chosen sheep written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we are new creatures. If you and I are one for whom Christ suffered and died for, we are a new creature. Because everything He has done is done perfectly. All that He has promised will come to pass. I love that. When it says, I shall, you will, it will come to pass. He shall do it, and you will be led to do exactly as He said what will be done. And we don't have to do a thing other than believe on Him, and we can't do that except He give us a gift of grace to hear this word. If you're a new creature, you're the one who Christ suffered and died for, and you are seen as the spotless lamb that died in your stead, place, and room. I'm looking at anybody out here. If you're in Christ, the Lord's going to say, John, I see my son. The Lord's going to say, I see my son. Alan, all of you, He's going to say, I see my son. I don't see you. I don't see your heart. I see my son, and I'm well pleased in my son. When a just and holy God looks upon us, He will only see His Son. Now, that's not to say that the whole creature is still not present, because it is. And we war with it every day. That is ever so present right now. We fight with that every day. The old heart is present. The Lord softened and gave us a heart for Him. But that old heart, that rock hard, that's rock hard and sinful heart is still always present. And we will struggle with it until eternity. And if we're one of His, all that heart will be taken away and we'll have a new heart. They will be totally able to worship the Lord as we should. And all that weight of sin and bondage will be gone, cast away, never to see it ever again. Eternal peace in the God of high. We will be able to worship and praise Him as we should through His Son through eternity. If we're one of His, if we're made to be a new creature, that's what we've got to look forward to. This life that we so think that is so important is so finite. If we're only here for a short period of time, we think it's long, but it's short. Eternity is forever, and if we have Him, we have eternal peace. That's what we should be looking forward to. That's what we should be looking to every day. It's when we turn away from that and look to the world and look to ourselves when we get in trouble. And we do it all the time. We must struggle with this old nature all the days of our lives on this earth. And it gets more and more of a burden as we grow older because we sin more and more and it adds up and adds up. Those chains are always going to be there until the Lord Almighty cuts those fetters and they're gone. They're gone forever. And we have peace. Now, most people get mad when it's declared that there's nothing a man or woman can do. And they'll talk about all those good things that they have done. And I said before, if we do anything, it's in Christ Jesus. It's in His. He works in us and through us. It's not of ourselves. It's not of ourselves. I have a hard time grasping that, and I want to grasp that. Anything that I do, if tonight any of this is profitable to you, is because the Spirit of the Lord blessed it to your heart and allowed me to have some wisdom through His grace. It's not because of me. I do not have any ability in myself. I have none. I will be the first to admit that. And there's other people who admit it too. I'm here to say that the Scripture says we do nothing but evil all the days of our life. And if we do anything profitable unto the Lord, it's His work in us, not our personal work. And I'm going to give you an example. In Luke 18, verse 10. This is a very common thing, been read many times, and I know you've heard it. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. We need to get to that place, to that publican, or we just be to say, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. I'm a Gentile dog. I'm the feces that come out of a dog. And I'm worse than that. There's not a word in the English dictionary that describes how miserable we are. But the Lord says, I came to save those type of people. I came to save sinners. The ones that I will reveal to them that they are a sinner, that know they are a sinner, that know they have in not a thing outside of Christ. Those are the people I came for. He confounds the wise all the time. This scripture confounds them all the time. They said, your master eats with publicans and sinners. Those are his people. He came to save a sinner. Are we sinners? I'm a sinner. Free will works religion is the religion of bondage. That first man, that publican, he's the religious of this world will work all the days of their lives to try to get to heaven. It's impossible. There's no rest from it. Every day you work and you work and you work and you work, and not a one of them will get you any closer. Actually, get you farther away. We come out of our mother's belly speaking lies. And every day we sin against Him. And if we disobey Him once, it's enough to damn us. And we do it every day. That's what's so, as hard as a man and a woman tries, they will never be able to please God. And that's why it's a religion of bondage. Because they'll never, those fetters that are on you, those will never be cast away. Because they're not looking to the one who can release those. The bondage will every day get heavier and heavier. It's like being in a pool of water and you're 6 foot tall and you're in 8 foot of water and they keep putting weight on your arms and you have nowhere to grab a hold of. Soon you're going to go under the water. You're going to die. The Lord will lift a man up and say, you're not in your, you're not represented in yourself. You're represented by my Son. And it's all a gift from me, and you can't do anything for it. It's all just a precious gift. It's all by grace. Now, grace, on the other hand, is free. Completely, totally free. It's free and sovereign grace. The Lord chooses to whom He wants to give it, and will give it, and He shall do it. And it's free. He chooses to whom the gift is given, and to those to whom it is given, they glorify the one who gives them the gift. That's His reward, and we will glorify Him. And we can't do that of ourselves. It all comes back to we can't do anything. We can't do a single thing. The burden of sin is on a substitute, and the wage of sin is paid by the giver. Thus, no burden upon the recipient. And the reason most people won't believe this, well, the reason all people won't believe it is because the Lord hadn't graced them. But the main reason they come out and say is, well, I want to do something. I want to do something. Matthew 11:27 says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If we look to Him, the burden we have is easy. Now this life's going to be hard. But that's not... If you look to Him in eternity, you're going to have no burden. He's not going to move you which way. You're going to want to honor Him. You're going to want to praise Him. His burden is easy. His yoke is light. Now, how does God reveal this hopeless state to His elect? By the preaching of this gospel. By revealing His Word to us and in us through His Spirit. People will say this is a message of no hope. Well, I can't do a thing. No, it's a message of great hope. The Lord said He will save a people. He said all of His He will in no wise cast out. He will find every single one of His sheep. And He will let every one of His sheep know His voice. And the man who gets up in this pulpit anytime or any other pulpit, if he's blessed of God, you'll hear it. And if he opens your heart, you'll hear it. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." We have hope in one Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to continuously look to Him. All of our strength, all of our power is in Him. He will make us go through everything in life and get us through it by His grace. He has promised He will not bring more on a believer, more on one of His sheep than they can bear. It doesn't mean He's not going to put us through trials and troubles. It doesn't mean that we're going to have life clear sailing. It means the opposite. The Lord tries His beloved. He tries them. He tries their faith. He makes them grow in grace through these trials. That's how you grow in grace. When things are going well, you don't look to Christ. When things are going well, you'll look to yourself and say, "Boy, I'm doing pretty well right now." When you're tried through trials and troubles, you grow in grace. And if you don't have any trials and tribulations, you'll not grow in grace. You won't. The Lord grants grace to those in dire need of that grace. If we had life so simple and we didn't have any problems whatsoever, if we didn't have any conflicts whatsoever, we wouldn't grow. That's how the Lord reveals His Word unto people. Because when you're not going through a time of trial and trouble, you don't search the Scriptures as much. I don't. When I'm going through a problem, no matter what, all the time are brought onto me by myself. Every single time. Any problem I have in life is brought onto me by myself, by my sinful nature. And when the Lord brings me down, and brings anyone else down to the dust where we need to be, then we look to Him. We should be looking to Him all the time, but we don't. And if we read, in His time, He will reveal something to us by His grace. And He'll give us comfort when we need comfort. And He'll push us. He'll try you. He'll lay the rod to you. But He'll always bring you back because He promised. And He'll let you know that you are that old creature, that you can't get rid of it. Nothing you do or say can get rid of it. But He, through His Son, says, "I see the new creature, the one made in my Son, in His stead, in His place, in His room, for the glory of me and my Son. I have saved a people, and I'm thankful for." Let's bow our heads. Lord Heavenly Father, I thank Thee for this night. I thank Thee for all that You have done for us, Lord. we're not deserving of anything. But you've seen fit to bless a people. You've seen fit to reveal your word to a few in by your grace. Lord, let us seek wisdom, the wisdom of God. Let us not be caught up in the world. Let us not deal unjustly and unfairly with any in this place, outside this place, the elect or the non-elect. Give us mercy. Show us mercy. That we might honor Thee and glorify Thy name. Lord, be with us in the coming weeks and months to come. Be with us. You know our hearts and our desires. Lord, let our hearts and desires be one with Thine. Your will be done. Let us understand it and accept it by Your grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.